Well, good afternoon. After those presentations, I'm kind of speechless. I mean, all of them were outstanding. I mean, every time I talk to any of you, I learn a lot. So it's quite impressive what's going on. I mean, the data-driven decision support for priorities in the network itself is something we've been trying to get going at headquarters for a while. I brought in a very talented student and blew everybody away with some network analysis. But anyway, so a number of you talked about that. So without this, I'll talk about just kind of an overview of what we've heard and some of the things I do to communicate the LTAR. We are here to assess and enable sustainable working lands. Okay, we're kind of unique when you look at us versus NEON, LTER, and some of the other networks in that we have that enable part. We have stakeholders, the producers themselves and the consumers, okay? The American public and of course, research that's done here is translated around the world. So we're a little different with that enable part. So we're focused on the future and making the future happen. So we're also here to enable a transformation of these systems as we move forward in the sustainability. This need to intensify, become climate smart and sustainable is something we hear a lot. We hear it from our stakeholders, we hear it from Congress, we hear it from academics and world-class scientists everywhere. So the bottom line question that we're after are current business as usual and innovative aspirational systems sustainable? And what evidence or metrics indicate that? So here we are again. Everybody's seen this great map. The 18 locations, all but three, run by ARS. We have university and an NGO hosting these things. We have croplands, grazing lands. We have an information ecosystem that is making great strides. We had a meeting recently, and we made great strides. We're all moving in the right direction and together. What do I mean by sustainable? I like to use the definition of sustainability that's defined by its goals. And Matt Smith over here, used to be with ARS, he's now an experiment station director in South Carolina, actually introduced us to this. And the first is to satisfy human needs for food, feed, fiber, and contribute to biofuel. Enhance the environmental quality and the resources base. You notice it says enhance. Not stewardship. Enhance it. Okay, make it better. Sustain the economic viability of producers. Okay, that's kind of a new thing for a lot of us biophysical types to be concerned about making sure our producers make a profit, stay in business. So a lot of our efforts on efficiency are focused on that. And then the bottom one that we're a little weak on is enhance the quality of life for farmers, farm workers, and society as a whole. But many will say if you get the first three down, the fourth one will come. So you'll see some question marks up here as well. There's a big red one on California. As you've heard, we have gotten some money for a new unit, a water-focused unit in California. And our former deputy administrator, Sally Schneider, who's since retired, was able to negotiate that part of that money be available for the LTAR host in California. It was serendipitous. Okay, it was quick thinking on her part. She was able to get in and negotiate for that. So there's a lot of interest in putting together this LTAR location. Obviously it's going to take a while to hire staff and get them set up. We're not sure where it's going to be. It's looking like Parlier because we have space for an ARS location there. But I envision it being a distributed location like the upper Mississippi River Basin. Okay, multiple sites spread out. There's a lot of interest in California for this. You'll see a white question mark up top. The Canadians really, 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 really want to join the LTAR. Okay, I get emails about once a month. Okay, you know, we're putting together our case for it. They have some specialty crops to offer as locations. And also as the warming trends move north, I think a lot of what we do will help inform them as they prepare for the future of agriculture in the north. You'll see a green question mark in the eastern side. Okay, that's another big gap we're talking about. However, we're only going to expand incrementally because of the resource issue. We're finding that there are a lot of things that we started out to do when LTAR was formed are aspirational in and of themselves. So we'd like to do things as resources allow. So fortunately, Congress has been good to us. We have support from them. We have support from stakeholders. Every year, ARS puts in a request for additional money to fund all the LTAR locations. So, we're not going to let up on that. So what is this G by E by M? Well, it's a way of looking at production as a function of the interaction of genetics, environment, and management. Okay, we came up with this as opposed to the normal genetics by environment because we were seeing an overemphasis on genetics as a solution to everything with agriculture. And as we all know, unless you have the proper management, you cannot reach the potential of what our colleagues in the genetics world hand us. Okay, you've got to have management. So what's the genetics? That's the potential. That's the variety. The environment, the stress effects on agriculture, where you are in time and space. You cannot control this. That's part of your decision making. What kind of genetics are you going to use for your environment? And the bottom one is the management, production practices, what you can control. And so this whole idea of making decisions about production and ecosystem services from the G by E by M perspective is very similar to what the producers see. When you talk to the producers, at least in my experience and some of my other colleagues, they love this. Because when they get up in the morning and they go out to their operation, this is what they're thinking, G by E by M. So finally we're hearing, yes, this is great. You're doing research from the same perspective as I look at my operation. Now there's a little addition to this, the P, the post-processing or socioeconomic. We're trying to figure out how that comes together. But basically, if you add that in to the G by E by M in parentheses, this is basically what you deliver to the consumer. And some of the socioeconomic preferences of P drive decision making for G and E and M. So that's something we haven't gotten a handle on yet. We're working on it. So where are we right now? We have this great community. We have myself and my team at ONP. Teferi Segay is here. He's our water person at Office of National Programs. I also have a colleague in the crop production side, Roy Scott, Jeff Vallee in the animal production side. And then we actually have someone in the nutrition and food safety and food quality, John Finley. Okay, he's very interested in answering questions about nutritional quality of food. How much is driven by G, how much is driven by E, and how much is driven by M? We can't answer that right now. If we can answer that, we can probably do a little better job of producing nutritious foods that the consumer, the American public, and the world needs and wants. We have the field leadership team. A number of them are here. Been doing a great job. I really enjoy working with you all. You can be thankful that you have these people that will put in the time and move forward. And right now they're focused on helping all of the locations advocate for their resources of the future. The research team, the location PIs, you all work together extremely well. You bring in a lot of good ideas. And the dedication and the energy with which you bring to it is contagious. There's a lot of interest in the scientific community because of your activities and your energy. And then within the LTAR teams, you have all these technical working groups. Okay? That's quite a list. Okay, so it's pretty comprehensive. It's a little bit hairy. I think we need to reduce the number of them so we can move forward a little better. You'll notice at the bottom I have socioeconomic with a big help. So we do have a couple of people we've talked to about working with us. Okay, that's something we just need to get on at some point. National Ag Library is involved with us, professional data stewards. Okay, that's a pretty big addition. And we have a lot of expertise in the field now for data management and building this information ecosystem. We have the big data effort of ARS, the Cynet system, and the Ceres computer, the big data. I think that's going to be something that a little further down the line that LTAR is going to be ripe for the picking for. We live in a data-hungry world, and that's how we handle large volumes of it. Lots of interest. NRCS would like to test a lot of their decision-making using the LTAR. Like I said, Canada is very interested. AgMIP, the Agricultural Modeling, Intercomparison, and Improvement Project, they want to work with us. The GeoGLAM, the Group on Earth Observations Global Agricultural Monitoring, it's a remote sensing-based international effort to bring crop yield estimates to all the other countries on the planet. And there's lots of others out there. I mean, I get inquiries about once every 10 days to 2 weeks now. What is this LTAR thing, and how can I become involved? And Pete's already put up the number of collaborators, but I'm sure these numbers have grown since we put them together. Some of the things that we're doing are new in the research world, especially in ARS. The project management tool, the Basecamp thing. Okay, that's innovative. How we communicate, share information, share data, ideas. The conference calls on a regular basis, the leadership team has them. And, of course, the whole network PIs have them. The site visits, the information task force has been traveling to all the sites and learning a lot in the process and talking amongst themselves. And then the yearly workshop. Okay, we got derailed this year because of some bureaucratic inconsistencies in information, but we're trying to hit it again for this coming April in 2018. Some of my thoughts for the future are Dr. Chuck's top 10, so to speak, for LTAR. I'd like to see us fully staffed and fully funded. Okay, that's something we will continue to push for at headquarters, and your stakeholders can help there, and some of the leadership team can help you on how to make this happen. We have these other projects with specialized science interest that need to become integral with LTAR. GraceNet, the greenhouse gas, carbon sequestration, REAP, the soil quality, soil health effort. NuoNet, I think that's probably got a different name. It's the nutrient use optimization network that's forming up. The soil biology working group, you know, that's the new frontier in agriculture, soil biology. Looking at their methods, I mean, a lot of you are in these groups. Work out the methods, and we'll apply them as they are appropriate across the network. Okay, use their brains. Incorporate their questions into your research as much as possible, as resources allow. Full regional coverage, like I say, California and that East Coast. Are there other U.S. locations? I've had two inquiries in the last 7 days about people with long-term data sets and structures that they feel can contribute to LTAR. Metrics. The sustainability metrics. Now, metrics is a big, hairy world. I've been talking to the ERS and a very talented student looking at some different ways of looking at metrics for these goals for sustainability using a network-type analysis, which accounts for interactions. So it's pretty exciting. How about some climate change indicators? EPA has put out a whole document on these. You know, there's some extreme events going on, but there's a lot of slow, insidious changes that are happening that are affecting habitats, which lead to those biotic effects that not only reduce the yield, damage the ecosystem surfaces, but also make the cost of production and land management increase. One of the things that just hit me, you know, the seed companies put out these contests on who can have the highest yield per acre. How about the LTAR looking at trying to come up with a contest of who could make the highest economic return or the highest ecosystem service improvement across the network, specific to that location or compare it across the network? Just kind of thinking in other ways of things that we need to instill in our landscapes. Go international. Okay, I really think Canada's going to happen. It's up to us to figure out how we admit them, because it's a little different situation from those of you who came in before. Mexico, I think it's just a matter of time before they start hearing about this and start inquiring and say, you know, this is a good idea. We have the same interests. And others. There's a lot of interest internationally about this. I mean, a good example is GraceNet. You know, it went international when the Global Research Alliance on Greenhouse Gases and Agriculture basically adopted the GraceNet model and set up this MagNet, this worldwide effort to coordinate measurements. Include colleagues from other disciplines. Like I said, my ONP, Office of National Programs, colleagues that are on the team are very interested in bringing that G into it. Okay, are there some combinations of management and different varieties that work better than others? Lots of opportunities there. Also, the modeling community and other types of new technology, high-tech sensors and so forth, computing power. Just a quick word about the models. I've long been a proponent of using models to guide some of my measurements. Sitting in on the AgMIP meetings yesterday morning, the people making the measurements were suggesting some additional changes to the models that need to be made. There's some other factors out there, and only you who have been out in the field and are familiar with these production systems can offer those kinds of insights. Okay. New technologies, well, we hear about Microsoft and Apple and other people getting interested in agriculture. IBM, for example, they're very interested in moving forward with it. The aspirational scenario is something very aggressive, 10 to 15 years ahead, you know, two or three cycles for breeding out there. Stakeholder involvement are some of the things we're proposing. With our science even remotely feasible from your perspective? And hopefully accelerate some of these rates of scientific advancements. Okay? I think we're already seeing it. Some of the analysis we've been seeing in the presentations today, I think there's jumping off points and some things we didn't know before that will hopefully help us ask the right questions, really difficult questions. What, why, and how? How are these things happening? What drives it? Once we understand that, we can manage it. And hopefully do some things that are transformational. I'd like the impact of the LTER to be seen for that. Okay, and in the process of doing that, maintain our sense of purpose for what we're about. Assess and enable sustainability. Collaborations. The LTAR has a certain amount of service that we provide data. I mean, we're logging all our data, putting it, making it available. And these other, this is just a few of the organizations that are interested in collaborating with us. And I was glad to hear one of the site PIs say this yesterday morning. What value can they add to the LTAR? Okay, I think they have some insights and technologies and tools that they can offer LTAR. So we're not the data collectors for the world. Yeah, we log our data and put it out there. Okay, this long-term data is invaluable. Like I said, we live in a data-hungry world. So what value can these other collaborators bring to LTAR to help us with the purpose, with the mission of the LTAR, to assess and enable? Information ecosystem. I would really like to see this be the go-to place for data. The need for translators going from units and different methods and things like that, drawing relationships so that you can, as a researcher, get the data in the form that you need. Set up a portal to run some of the models, and some landmark data sets. If you talk to any of the modelers out there, they're hungry for something that'll transcend space and time in terms of its quality. And along with that, I'd like to see us, as we do research using the LTAR data, publish and distribute some specialized data sets that are these landmark data sets. We used to do that early in my career, came out of the remote sensing world. And we put together some data sets using massive field campaigns. And we basically put them on CDs and sent them to anybody on the planet we thought might be remotely interested. And it brought together a larger community and advanced the science. It really advanced, it accelerated the advances. This is a slide I showed at the data workshop we had at NAL. Basically, it says that good data has a life of its own long after you're through looking at it. Earlier in my career, I'm a remote sensing type. I was involved in these big international field campaigns to characterize the interaction of mass and energy between the surface and the near-surface atmosphere to feed general circulation models and just weather prediction models. Okay, the FIFE, it's an acronym within an acronym. It's the first ISLSCIP field experiment. ISLSCIP is International Satellite Land Surface Climatology Program. We started out in Kansas. The BOREAS was the Boreal Ecosystem Atmosphere Study. We went up to Canada. I also went to West Central Africa. I went to Russia and basically chickened out going to Brazil because it was just really ambitious. The point is that when you put together a transformational, interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary group, you generate data sets that go a long way. This plot shows how many papers have been coming out of the data sets of these two experiments. Okay, that's not cumulative. The BOREAS, since it last happened in 94, 96, is still putting out between 700 and 800 papers a year from that data. I got a call 2 years ago for a data set I collected in 1987. Okay? So these things go a long way. I think the LTAR has the capacity to beat this, to really make data available that will generate papers for generations to come. The variety of data, the attention to quality, the involvement of modelers, the different disciplines, I think it's going to be the place to be. I actually think the LTAR data ecosystem is going to swamp everything in ARS in terms of data management systems. We have some other work going on, Bruce Vandenberg and his geospatial portal. I think that'll be a part of it, but I think we're leading the way. You know, as scientists, this whole data thing, this is where I first encountered it. I had to put data in a data system in 1987, 1988. Yeah, it's a pain in the rear, but it was worth it. Okay, it goes a long way. I have five or six refereed data sets that show up in the Science Citation Index. Okay, if your data is of that valuable, other people will pick it up. If they cite your data, congratulations, you have a refereed data set. So, finally, I want to see some recognition and stature for the LTAR. Okay? Think about the effort here. Think about the talks we heard today. The magnitude of this effort, the momentum that's going forward, the support we have from Congress, from stakeholders. Not only internal to ARS, but external to ARS. Some recognition of the team for individuals and the team. Okay, we talk about team science, but there's still going to be a lot of individual researchers out there doing your thing. And recognition for the fact that it's science for the stakeholders and consumers. Okay, yeah, we do this because it's fun and it's interesting and things like that, but we have that enable thing in our mission, in our purpose. So, and then finally, high tech, high touch. The highest quality science and most advanced instrumentation that we can come up with down the line as resources will allow. And at the same time, we're in touch with our stakeholders, we're in touch with what's going on in the environment. Like I said, when you're talking to the modelers, many of which do not get out in the field very often, you can provide them some insights as to what's going on in the environment. So the bottom line is communicate. Talk to people about the LTAR. Carry around a thumbnail, a memory stick that's got a LTAR in one slide, LTAR in three slides, LTAR full 30-minute presentation. These are on base camp. Okay? Take that fact sheet, get it out there. Engage your fellow researchers, engage the stakeholders, engage the decision makers in Washington, D.C. Continue to innovate with your measurements and your science and push agriculture into the future. I really think we're going to see some revolutionary advances because of what you're doing. It'll be long and painful to do it, but we'll get there. Just like my Fife and Boreas example, they said that because of those efforts, they advanced the science of land surface interactions with the atmosphere and actually improved weather forecasting. It was like a 15-year leap in the science. They credit it to these efforts. And then finally, deliver. Deliver your science. Communicate it. Get it out there to the stakeholders. Get it to your colleagues. Okay? This is a pretty cool thing we're doing here. It's pretty exciting. So thank you all for your efforts. You're doing a great job. You really are. I love talking about LTAR. If I had my druthers, I'd be working on LTAR full time from headquarters. This is the coolest thing in town. So with that, thank you.
You still have 2 minutes.
We still have 2 minutes. Well, let me talk a little more. Yeah, no.
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Really appreciate you coming and your participation. So thank you again to the speakers. Really appreciate them.
And thank Matt for organizing this. Think about what you might want to do in future meetings. Possibly have more symposia breaking out into different groups.
That type of thing. I did want to mention one purpose of this symposium was to think about and explore the idea of creating a community within the societies that focuses on long-term data, not just within the LTAR network, but in the network and other networks. Charlie talked about trying to connect with other networks. So I think that was one purpose, to just start exploring that idea of connecting all the people that are doing long-term research. So thank you again.